Amin Raina here from Sage Investors, and this is take number 29. Today, I want to talk a little bit about size. It was literally, just seems like it was last week or a couple years ago, where we had Apple become the first stock to cross $1 trillion in market capitalization. And we go back, literally, it feels like it was just yesterday, but it was a few years ago. And remember, there was just a huge just thing about crossing that $1 trillion market cap threshold, and just all kinds of gushing and idolatry and everything praised upon Apple for crossing that threshold. Now, you know, literally it just felt like it was a few years ago. But today, if you look at the list right now, we've got six companies now that are, you know, have a market cap of over $1 trillion. And some of them now are over two or three trillion at some point. So, you know, right now where we are in the markets, and we're talking about being in the loop, there's a very much a too big to fail narrative with these companies. And these are the companies, you know, we know who they are, the Mag 7, Glorious, whatever, Glorious 8 companies. But there's just certain, and I've talked about this in previous takes, there's certain FOMO attitude right now and a certain FOMO vibe in the market, in that, you know what, you just, they're just so big, you just got to put your money into it. You can't, you know, just, you get tired head and you just go, you know, I'll just put my money in there. They're big. So, you know, they're not going out of business tomorrow. Too big to fail. Have we heard that? I believe at some point in history. That FOMO vibe is very much in effect. And, you know, what we're seeing right now is we're seeing a lot of the market oxygen getting sucked out of by these companies. And, you know, just go look at the returns. We've seen the returns, you know, 20 to 30% of the market returns are being generated by these monster uber large companies. And, you know, the reality is, obviously, you know, we're doing, you know, the S&P 500 has 500 companies on it. So the world of investing opportunities is more than seven companies. And the economy around the world, locally, wherever, is more than just seven companies, and not just seven tech companies. It's interesting. And what we're seeing also is just the concentration of companies. So as I said, 20-30% of returns generated by like a handful of companies. And it's not just a US, North American phenomenon. We're seeing it in Europe, in Denmark, you know, Novo Nordisk, the people that do the Ozempics. If you look at the Danish stock market, half of the valuation in the Danish stock market is Novo Nordisk. We've seen what happens, and we have to be, you know, students of history here. We've seen what happens when wealth gets concentrated. Weird things happen, bad things happen. We saw this in the 1990s here in Canada with Nortel. At one point, Nortel, you know, that was the company. At one point, it was 30% of the market cap of the TSX. Nokia, at one point, was half the value of the Finland Stock Exchange. The reality, and we know what happened to those companies. They don't exist anymore. There's the reality here, you know, and this is really what I get into. There's just an ocean of companies, an ocean of stocks that are doing great things, and the market is just not giving them the love right now, and just not getting that kind of traction or the same kind of love that these elite seven companies are getting. The Novo Nordisks are getting. They're doing okay, but as human beings, we want to be on the super winning team. And so why do I want to own a bank that's going to get me 10% return when I can own NVIDIA and I can get like, you know, X bazillion percent return? We're going to gravitate because that's the nature of who we are as human beings. We're wired. We want to be on the winning teams. I want to be owning the Magnificent Seven too, so I can flex that I know what I'm doing. And that's okay. That's just how we are. And at the end of the day, you know, there's so many companies doing so many really cool things out there that we want to you know, find those companies. And those are the opportunities that as investors and as what I'm looking at, and you know, how I teach people to look at these stuff is try to look at those companies, try to focus on those companies that are sitting out there that aren't getting the love, you know, but are generating meaningful economic profit. What I'm saying is meaningful returns on capital that are greater than their cost of capital. Those are companies that are creating tangible, and there's lots of them out there. And they're selling at pretty reasonable prices, but they're not getting the love right now. What's happening right now is like the market and, you know, the investors have decided to kind of put all their chips in and, you know, allocate a lot of their scarce capital and resources to these elite, large cap, uber large cap companies, because they, what they're saying that what you're doing when you're buying these companies is you're saying that in the future, and that's the key thing here, in the future, you think that, or I think that these companies, the NVIDIAs of the world, are going to generate so much high return on invested capital that is way higher than their cost of capital to justify it. That's the play right now. That's the mindset that we have when you're putting your money into these type of companies, into the NVIDIAs, the Alphabets, the Metas. You know who they are. So what I want to do here, there's two ways to look at this, look at that decision as you frame it. And again, it comes back to your thinking. We're thinking that putting your money in these companies, you think they're going to generate high returns on invested capital. What is returns on invested capital? It is basically your operating profits. I'm being very simplistic. Operating profits over capital invested, total invested capital. So there's two principles that could happen that you could expect, that you're trying to expect when you think these companies are going to generate high returns on invested capital. You're saying that scenario one, that these companies are going to grow their operating profits at a much faster rate than what that amount of capital that they're putting into the business. So either they're going to grow their revenues really significantly, or they're going to cut costs. Look for efficiencies, cut people, those type of things. Get out of certain businesses, services. Now, right now, number two has been this concept. And this is the part that doesn't get a lot of attention, because a lot of the value that's been created by these elite companies have been on the backs of cost cutting. Meta cut 20 grand of people. All these companies have been shedding people like crazy because they overhired during the pandemic, and now they're just, you know, getting trimming off the fat. But a lot of that efficiencies have been a driver of why these companies have been generating high returns on invested capital. NVIDIA has been generating a lot of revenue, so I would put that in the first column. So either you're growing your profits really hard, or the second scenario that leads you to think that the company is going to generate high returns on capital, invested capital, is an expectation that in the future, that these companies are going to allocate that capital that they've got into products and services that are going to generate high margins, high revenue growth to cover those investment capital costs. And I think right now, that's a pretty big ask, because right now with scenario two, it's about what's driving a lot of this value and driving the markets loopy is this expectation. And it's driven by the expectations of artificial intelligence. That is the mantra right now that is being pounded on the table, that these companies are essentially, you know, somebody, what analysts call them, the godfathers of AI, and are going to generate allocate these capital investments that they're making in right now, and all these chips and hardware and all that stuff is going to yield in the future ridiculous levels of return on invested capital, ridiculous levels of profit to justify the high capital costs. And that's right now the bet. Right now, the market is expecting these monster companies, these high market cap companies, to deliver that. And to me, when you get Uber levels of this type of investment, concentrated investment, it usually doesn't end up in a good place. Now, you know, bring it to NVIDIA. In the last report, they said that their data center revenues grew 285% last quarter. So the market right now has an expectation in their head that this company is going to grow data center revenues, chip revenue, whatever, at incredibly high levels of growth. And as an investor, we have to ask ourselves, is that realistic? It might be realistic for the next couple of quarters or maybe this year. But again, when we're investing, we're not investing for 20 minutes. We're investing for long-term growth. And so does a company like NVIDIA, is that realistic to expect them to crank out these incredibly high levels of growth? History says no. And so I say the probabilities of it are low over the long term. And this is, you know, these are the questions, as I said, as investors, we have to ask ourselves in these moments when we're seeing these kind of behaviors in the in stocks and the behaviors in investments is, you know, how realistic is all this? And these are normal questions, and these are questions you ask in a capitalist environment. And this is a normal course of flow and rhythm. This is not out of the ordinary. You get moments where stocks and companies just go to the moon and just do some incredibly abnormal things, but then the market has a wonderful way of settling things down. And sometimes it's orderly. Things just kind of find their sweet spot. Or it's literally the market will just rip the band-aid and punch you in the face and say, no, 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 this is not happening. So the question here is, you know, if the market big, these big market caps, these magnificent seven elite Uber seven companies are driving the market right now, you know, does this kind of trickle down into the rest of the market? Like, are we going to see potential, you know, if the big seven kind of run into issues, is that going to trickle down into the rest of the market? And so my take right now is I don't think it won't, because I think a lot of these stocks, the rest of the market, I think is probably priced reasonably well. And in some cases, they're probably being priced at an really nice discount. And I think what we're starting to see right now is that bleeding out, but more of a spreading out now of investors starting to recognize other companies out there that are doing some pretty good stuff. They're not, you know, $1 trillion market cap businesses, but they're, you know, hundreds of billions or billions that are doing good things, selling good products and services people want. So that really should be kind of our, as an investor, that's kind of my call to action. My challenge is try to avoid the FOMO of the FOMO vibe by looking at those bright lights, you know, glittery seven, eight companies out there, and try to look over on the other side, because ultimately tomorrow's winners are going to be sitting over there. And my take right now is there's a lot of oxygen going into those seven or eight handful of companies. I'm trying to avert my eyes. I'm trying to look at other places. And so when I talk about smaller companies, I'm not talking about lemonade stands here. We're talking banks, insurance companies, utilities, people that dig things out of the ground, retail. These aren't little dorky little companies. These are, you know, reasonably sized, reasonably, doesn't even matter about the size. Size really doesn't matter. And that's ultimately my biggest takeaway today, is what I want to share with you, is bigger is not always better. Super big, uber big, always finds a way to settle back down. As I say, I teach courses, I teach people, you know, I have investing courses that I teach, I coach people how to make investing decisions. And one of the courses that I have, it's the first course that I have in my series, it's called The Principles of Capitalism and Investing. And that's the course, it's probably my most favorite course of all the ones that I've developed, is the one because I talk about core capitalistic principles that go into making investment decisions. And one of the principles, talking about it, is it doesn't, size doesn't matter. If companies are generating, selling products and services, getting good returns on those invested capital that they've invested to create those products and services. Those are valuable companies. In a capitalist world or society, those companies are valuable, and I want to own them and ultimately participate in their value. And so that's kind of goes back to kind of what we're dealing right now is we're dealing with a lot of a handful of companies that have, no doubt about it, demonstrated strong returns on invested capital, creating tangible wealth, a lot of tangible wealth. The question is how sustainable it is, given the backdrop of the expectation that the markets have or investors have, is that they're going to pick tomorrow's winners in products and services, which right now seem to be very AI driven, which really doesn't have a full track record. And ultimately, that's kind of a pretty big ask for me as an investor in terms of risk, when there's other companies out there that are doing really great stuff, performing very well, may not be getting the love from the markets as much. And it's because of size. And the takeaway again, bigger is not always better. Super big, uber big is definitely not always better. Be careful, do your homework, and understand what your expectations are of these companies and as an investor. It's a tricky time right now. And there's a lot of emotion going into things right now. And there's a lot of temptation to kind of want to tag along for the ride. And it's really at those moments, those behavioral moments with investing, that things can go off the rails pretty fast. So be careful, do your homework. Bigger is not always better. The biggest is not always better. That's all I got for you today. If you want some more information, I'd love to hear from you. If you have some takes on today's episode, you can drop a line through the comments here. As I said, I'm posting this on, you can find my stuff on my website, sageinvestors.ca. There's lots of information and posts there regarding my investing courses, as well as my coaching programs, my investment coaching programs. You can also find me on LinkedIn. We have our company page there, Sage Investors. I post stuff in real time about things I see going on in the market, as well as on Threads. I'm mostly on these two platforms now, not so much on the Bird website. On Threads, you can find me at Sage Investors Nation. And you also can find my YouTube channel. I link stuff up there, kind of goes back and forth between the website. And check out some future, I'm doing a lot of YouTube live videos on market things that are hitting the market and some real-time stuff that's going on. Feel free to jump on there through my channel, Sage Investors, or through my website, sageinvestors.ca. That's all I got for you today. Thank you very much for listening and watching in. My name is Amin Arena from Sage Investors. This has been In the Loop, and we'll catch you again another time. Take care. Bye-bye.